I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
No, I really love, like, 10-second songs.
Yeah.
I had a band called Pjork, P-J-O-R-K.
Okay.
And we did 10-second really filthy, dirty songs.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
We didn't have a gig or anything, yeah. But we did this for us and our friends. You know?
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah. They weren't unrelated to Bjork? Like, it wasn't like dirty Bjork covers song. Of Bjork?
No, it was just Pjork.
Pjork.
Yeah.
It was a good band name.
Yeah.
I like good band names. Like, the band, when I play here in New York, it's my band, my girl band.
Yeah.
We are Dinah Shore Jr.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Is that a good band
name? That's so good.
That's so great.
And then
that's the best.
My band in Nashville is Minnie Pearl Jam.
Oh, cool. I love that.
This is so good. I love this.
Yeah.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together, see what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, the podcast that's trying so hard not to objectify the new women in Congress. Hashtag Kyrsten Sinema's shoulders. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Sarah York.
And today we are very excited to be dyking out with the one and only Jill Sobule about nostalgia. Jill is a singer, songwriter that some of you may know from her mainstream hits, I Kissed a Girl, which I like to refer to as the original and superior I Kissed a Girl.
Absolutely.
And the song Super Model, which was featured in the movie Clueless. And those of you with great taste will know her for much more than that, because Jill has been putting out so much music over the years. You have, what, over 10 albums?
I do.
That's a lot of music.
That is.
Including her latest, which is called Nostalgic Kills, which you can listen to and buy it as soon mm-hmm. as you finish listening to this episode. Or you can just buy it right now, listen, and then get back to the episode. We're not going to tell you how to live your life. Jill, thank you so much for dyking out with us today.
I'm happy to be here, especially after hearing the theme song.
Yes, we have Jill's seal of approval yes. on the theme song. The band who composed and sang it, There Is No Mountain, will be very happy and excited to know that.
Mm-hmm. It was to the point.
Yeah. That's how we are. We have to just get straight to the point.
Yeah. We're in love with Kyrsten Sinema.
We have so little time.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
Kyrsten Sinema is... First of all, I did not realize what a babe she was. Obviously, I saw some campaign stuff, and like I would see her on Twitter and things like that. But she showed up ready to be a or to be sworn in.
She's a sexy bisexual witch.
She really is. She was giving like
who's sworn
Jillian
in
Anderson
on a law
vibes,
book. Yeah.
Big time. Like I am just obsessed with her.
You knew she loved being up there with Pence for all her friends.
Oh, yeah.
To have that, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was smiling throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's
yeah.
going to be her pagan Christmas card next year.
Yeah.
We're going to get married.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really kicking off 20 by teen.
Yeah.
She
really is. We should try to get her on the pod. That's a reach, but you never know.
You know, nothing's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie O'Donnell's.
That is true, yeah.
Gonna be on this year.
Yeah, we're excited.
So we're gonna... before we get carried away with sexy ladies
say,
in Congress...
I could go on and on about Kyrsten Sinema, but...
Yeah. Also AOC.
Yeah, in the white suit.
Oh, I was thinking of her dancing on the rooftop of Boston University, which is
my
alma mater.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I've been on that rooftop.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That adds like a special layer of it to you.
I love that. Just looking at all the tweets. And
of
course, I follow all the right-wing tweets.
Yeah.
It was hysterical.
I love how like their version of like a smoking gun is a video of an adorable high school girl like doing cute things and being cool and rad and like...
I like some of them were like... That was the most amazing, cute thing, except I hated that BU shirt.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's just so ridiculous. And I love, there's a Twitter account that was, I don't know who created it, but basically it's the video, but it's set to like a million different songs. So there's like a David Bowie version. There's a Prince song on there. It's hilarious. And it's all.
Someone said it to her, her campaign video kickoff voiceover.
Oh, cool.
Which is also fun.
Yeah.
I would have voted for her just based on that. And I'm
Absolutely.
So glad that she's my congresswoman.
Yeah.
Anyway, a couple quick announcements. January 28th at Stonewall, we are having our first Diking Out at Stonewall stand-up comedy show. Some of the comics who are going to be on it, Pat Brown, Sarah Kennedy, Claudia Kogan, Paris Sachet, and then I'm keeping a seat warm for Rosie O'Donnell or Madonna.
yeah,
Rosie O'Donnell is probably more likely.
Right.
But Madonna did...
She was there on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I thought it was a surprise performance.
Like,
someone told me that, and I literally... I go, no, she's not. They're like, no, Madonna's at Stonewall right now. And I was like, okay. And then later I realized she was.
Yeah.
But I just wouldn't expect her to, like, appear amongst the people like that, you know? Like
performing acoustic.
She does have a record coming out.
Oh, she does? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Still was great.
Yeah.
Well, she was named the ambassador of Stonewall.
Okay.
Which...
Oh, so that... Was it like a ceremonial kind of thing she was there
for?
No.
New Year's Eve.
It wasn't announced that she was going to be there for New Year's Eve. Like,
okay.
That happened like a week before, and then I guess they talked about it. I'm hoping to get the full story from Mike, who's the booker there.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I mean, can you imagine just being at Stonewall and fucking Madonna shows up? That's like kind of wild.
I would have fainted.
Yeah.
Someone would have
I'm not
had
as
to...
big of a Madonna fan as you are, but...
Oh, God.
I could, yeah.
You have no idea. It's insane. Okay. Come to... You never know when Madonna might show up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just use Madonna to promote the show.
Yeah,
no, it's
going
to be really fun. You can get tickets on our website, deckingout.com. They're half price in advance. And we'll be hanging out downstairs afterwards. So come if you want to be our friends. That's probably the only way. also, I will be on a live taping of a special episode for the Les Hangout podcast. They have a series that they do called Should Have Been Gay. And it's about, things that were so close to being gay and just should have been gay. So, of course, I'm going to be there talking about the one and only Miss Olivia Benson.
Oh, of course.
And why Olivia Benson on Law & Order SVU is totally a lesbian. And it makes no sense that they...
Yeah, no, that character would have made much
more
sense
from us. My cousin created that show.
Really?
What?
Yes. And I have pictures. I'll put them on of me and Ice-T and Olivia. But she, I know, she wasn't, but...
She's got the vibes.
But everyone who worked that show was, so yeah, it doesn't
Well, that's good. All the below-the-line people.
So it doesn't matter.
She just, like, the pantsuits were perfect. It just, she's amazing.
Can you imagine creating a show that went that many
this
seasons?
This is amazing. It's my cousin, Neil. Bear. And we grew up
Neil.
In Denver.
Yeah.
And he was a... He's one of those super genius. He's a doctor. And a friend of his said, I'm from college. And it said, we need a doctor to help us with just on ER, just with the writing.
Like script supervising. And
then he started doing it. And then he started being a head writer. And then he got his own show.
Oh, my God. That's
so
awesome.
It's one of those stories that's really, and he's a really good guy. And he's out. And, that's why I know that, you know,
a lot of our people on that show then, huh? That's amazing. That's so cool.
This is so great.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I always, you know, all those shows, I just think like, I know they have to consult like lawyers and any kind of procedural show that kind of tries to be realistic.
Yeah.
And I always wonder like, how do they pick those?
Yeah.
The experts that they consult or the doctors or the lawyers.
I don't know. But he was responsible for some of the gayish things, like in SVU, it was the guy that he murdered, but he was like the ex-gay preacher kind of character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ah.
So
He put some things in there.
Yeah, and it was so funny because his sister is gay. And when I first, this is in Denver years ago, the first time I ever went into a gay bar, and I'm like, is this a family reunion?
Yeah.
There's such a strong genetic factor, I think.
Oh, that's rad.
You know, that happened to me once. I went to a lesbian bar in Buffalo and saw it was my cousin's cousin, but like I had no idea that she was gay. And I walked in and like, you know, it's like the week before Thanksgiving and she's just making out with a lady. And I'm like, what? And then we're just like at Thanksgiving, like, hey.
Like looking at each other. We know our secret.
And at first I was like, oh shit, I should hide. And they go, well, what are they doing in here?
Right, yeah, right?
I know. It's like my first time.
Right.
That's great. So that show is going to be Monday, February 18th at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
That's
and
my birthday.
I'll be posting about that. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
February 18th, maybe that's how I'll celebrate. I'll go to that.
By listening to me talk about Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
Yes. And also thank you to everybody who came to our suit show in December.
Yes.
We had some listeners there and it was awesome to meet you and chat with you and be invited to your French country house.
Yeah.
You know who you are. And it was such a fun time. Everybody looked awesome in their suits. Sarah had a suit that she got from Wild Fang. We did a comedy show that was all queer women wearing suits. And we encouraged the audience to wear suits as well. And it was very...
Was it great?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
People are looking sharp.
It was actually the first time that I purchased a suit. And now I feel... I've put it on and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, my ego just went through the roof. I was like, I belong in this.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It's amazing, yeah. And hello to the two lovely listeners who approached me at Wild Fang and said, we recognized your voice. Probably because I was being very loud in the store.
Where are the suits?
Yeah, I literally was like shouting.
Do you have suits for tall ladies?
Because I had this like wonderful woman that was helping me that works there, and she was like, I was like shouting at her from the dressing room, and like she was finding me more things to put on. And these two lovely people came up to me, and they were like, "Are you Sarah York?" And I was like, "Yes." And I went from there, and it was really sweet and special.
That's
so thank
really
you
cool.
for that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, getting recognized at Wild Fang.
It made me feel so good.
That's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
How's everybody's holidays? This is our first show, 2019. Jill, do you stick around in New York for the holidays, or do you go out of town?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I kind of had the strangest, like, no family, just being with friends. New Year's Eve, I popped in and sang a couple songs at Club Cumming. And that was really fun.
That's awesome.
And
forget about Madonna at Stonewall.
Yeah, no kidding.
Forget. We had not only was it me, but there was who else? Well, Alan Cumming, and Marie Hill was doing her shtick. And then it went on. I didn't stay. I stayed because it was so claustrophobic. It was amazing, but it went on till it was open till 8 a.m.
Oh, my.
Who does that?
No, I can't.
But there were some other acts that I heard that would be when I left, like at 2 o'clock, like a woman, a performance artist named Mouse, who does her performance arts while smoking a cigarette from her vagina.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay.
That is something I have not conquered yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
I've tried it once.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
I cannot imagine.
You know, that might bring in more people to my show.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Well, I hear
maybe a different crowd. Who knows?
A different crowd.
I hear the teens are soaking their tampons in vodka.
They are.
So
the teens
why not?
Are into that. Yeah.
Why not smoke a cigarette out of your vagina?
Yeah. It is desperate.
I'm just going to put some edibles up my butt. And I'm
Wow.
So weird.
Yeah, you never know.
So
our
weird.
Bodies are capable of a lot of really cool things. So whatever.
Well, I could see they probably don't want to come home their parents smelling the
right.
And
I think they do it because it gets you drunk like instantly, apparently.
Instantly,
like it's because it's basically goes right into your bloodstream through like mucous membranes in your body. So like it. But it does like actually get them alcohol poisoning,
wow.
So that's like a whole
blacking
thing.
Out is so cool.
Yeah,
I am not nostalgic for my blackouts.
I mean, I almost did last night, but whatever. I didn't black out. I was in the gray area.
Well, thank you for being here, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to dinner last night and had like 5 bottles of wine. It's fine.
I went to the UK over the holidays.
You did. Yes, that's
nice.
Right.
Yeah. And I love it. I'm still in love.
Your photos were amazing.
It was a lot of fun. I went with Cecilia this time, my wife, and it was, we travel really great together. So that was a lot of fun. We also saw, we went to Buffalo for Christmas and then flew there. And while we were in Buffalo, we saw the movies The Favourite and Mary Queen of Scots.
Yep.
So we had like two UK history kind of movies, which The Favourite, I didn't realize that how much that's actually based in like real
that really
history
happened.
And how queer that movie is, because in the previews, they don't advertise it like
a
queer movie.
It's like it's a lesbian love triangle movie, and it's not advertised as such, but it was.
Yeah.
I saw it on Christmas Day by myself, and it was the best day ever.
I thought
it was hysterical.
Oh,
it was
loved
so
it.
Funny.
It was delightful.
So dark. I like the bunnies.
Yeah.
The bunnies.
It was like, oh my God. And I just, it was really amazing. The acting was really fantastic. There were very few men in the movie, which I found to be really delightful as well.
And the men they did have were in wigs, which
exactly.
is how I like
and they
my
were
men.
Like kind of effeminate. It was like kind of amazing. It was the best.
I thought it was like a historical fiction type of movie. And then when I went to the National Portrait Gallery and they have Queen Anne, her portrait there. And in the description, it talks about her like physical intimate relationship with
Sarah.
The Duchess, Sarah, yeah.
I fell into like a pretty deep Wikipedia wormhole after
too.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, is this true? And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God. And I like could not stop reading about it. It was amazing.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah,
well,
I want to see
it Queen again. Anne, the time, they didn't talk about it, but when she went into the ye old stone wall that one New Year's Eve.
She showed up. She was a queer icon at the time. Nobody heard about it until weeks and weeks later.
Yeah.
I love that.
If she hadn't had all that gout, she would have been.
I know.
You know.
The gout is really what held her back, I think, from being like fully.
I have
fully...
a friend who got gout, and I'm like, isn't that just for French aristocracy?
Yeah.
No.
Got gout? I know.
It does. It seems like kind of an old, you know, like, are we still experiencing, like a kind of an Oregon Trail
like
disease?
Whooping
like if
coughing.
You still have this, like you have dysentery or something.
I knew a guy who had gout, but I was pretty happy about it because he was disgusting. He was a disgusting man.
I still don't fully understand what it is because it's like sores on your feet, I guess, is what it was.
It affects your nerves.
Yeah.
It causes
it
just like a lot of pain
awful.
In your legs.
Yeah.
It's awful. Though Cecilia and I did an afternoon tea while we were in London and we're like, oh, we get why people got gout back in the day. If you had access to all these like sweets and scones and things like that, like I would.
It was sort
Even
of like a class
gout.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mary Queen of Scots was good, too. It wasn't queer, but in my mind it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, everything is.
Well, no, it actually was a little bit queer because her, they portray her second husband as being a gay man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. I thought about seeing it right after I saw The Favorite because I was like, I just need more. I need more corsets. I need more like of this 17th century opulence around me. But
it's great.
Yeah.
That's a weird time to be nostalgic for. But
yeah.
But when I was in Scotland, I was like, ooh, I wonder what it was like.
Yeah.
Probably really gross.
Probably and uncomfortable. I bet everyone smelled terrible.
Oh, they did. Do you ever think about that? In France, actually.
Yeah.
More so in France because in France, I just learned that they thought that the plague and in France it was from water, so they mm-hmm. would not bathe.
Oh, God. Mm. Which yes. is just making everything worse. Yeah.
But then again, if you were born, you wouldn't know any different.
Right, right.
You didn't have water picks or
yeah.
things like that
like
back
anything.
Then.
Yeah. Well,
and that's why they have like all the perfumes from France. I went to, and I'm forgetting the name of the town in France that's like known for
perfumes.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, that's my nightmare.
And yeah, the whole town just smells like perfume. If you have a smell sensitivity,
I'm extremely sensitive to like fragrances.
Do
oh my
not
God.
Go there.
No.
Because it's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. Oh, I was also on like high alert for a Gillian Anderson sighting the whole time I was there, but I did not see her.
That would have been awesome.
Only on TV.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm just like, I'm waiting. There needs to be like a biopic made about Kyrsten Sinema. And so she could be played by Gillian Anderson.
Yes.
So then when Kyrsten Sinema by that time will be married to me and we can go to the film together and it'll be great. That's
oh, man.
What I think of. I'm already building this in my head.
Is she? Yeah.
I'm going to have to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are going to have to fight.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How funny. That would be the gayest thing ever. Like, we got in a fight after the pod over bisexual congressperson.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Who gets to claim
yeah.
her?
Yeah.
Man, mm-hmm. I'm just...
And she's like, you guys are freaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay away.
I don't want either of you.
All right. Now let's get into our topic for this episode, nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
What made you want to, or, well, I guess I kind of know what inspired an album about nostalgia, maybe nostalgia, but tell us a little bit more about your latest album and some of the thinking behind it.
Interesting. It's called Nostalgia Kills.
Mm.
And over the last couple of years, it's been a, can I cuss?
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a motherfucking hard year.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on in the world. And
yeah.
But I had a parent. You know, both parents die.
Okay.
I had a really bad breakup. And so those times you tend to look back at your life and writing songs. And always, I have to say that it's good for writing, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it tended to be a lot of songs. It felt like it was a memoir almost. So this album, Nostalgia Kills, which is the name of one of the songs, feels like they're little short stories. And especially some of these songs come from... it was a one-woman show, but now or we were developing it as a one-woman show, but now it's become more of a theatrical piece. And hopefully you'll see it in a year, but it's called Hashtag Fuck Seventh Grade.
Oh, cool.
So there's songs about that, the worst time period of our lives.
Yeah.
So, but the idea of Nostalgia Kills, that one song is it's good to look back. It's good to take an inventory looking, but it's also, it's good to just get the fucking move on,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and move on. So it's this kind of it feels like a book, a memoir, a book of short stories,
yeah,
or yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of your songs are stories, like little mini stories about different characters and stuff. Are they all based on people you know, or your experiences, or are some of them?
Well, some
just
of them
like...
are people I know, but you always can't help but put yourself into them. But
sure.
this record is pretty much me,
mm-hmm.
Which is different than some of the other ones. But even like, say, the original "Kiss the Girl," it was based on. I had an obsession with lesbian pulp novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so part of it was like I wanted a story of that kind of Bebo Brinker thing of the two suburban girls in the early 60s or late 50s who you know, venture to the West Village
yeah.
and you know, end up doing each other and, you know, but it's all very taboo like that, you know.
Yeah.
And there's something when things are taboo, you would never want to go back that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something kind of sexy about that. So
there
I
is.
Think with... with Kissed a Girl, there were two things. One, wanting to have a song that, again, like I wished I had. As mm-hmm. And I knew the only way I'd be able to slip it in pop music or would have to be like put a little funniness into it. But also it was my fantasy of being one of those suburban housewives.
Yeah.
That was me, but it was a story of two women. That was just an example and a queer example.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's so great.
So yeah, I do want to talk about that song for a little bit because
sure.
I was 10 years old when it came out, but I remember it very distinctly because as a little lesbian who didn't know it yet, boy, was that interesting to see that on MTV and anytime that video came on. And the internet, was just starting up back then, so I couldn't, like, obsess over it properly the way I wanted to. I would just have to watch, like, hours of MTV and VH1
and just
in
wait.
Hopes that video would come on so I could hear that story again and be like, wait, is this okay?
Yeah.
Is this something we can do?
I didn't discover the song until later, but had I discovered it when it first came out, I think that would have sort of sparked something in me a lot sooner than that spark, had. Because we didn't have any kind of like content like that. Like there's never a song about a girl kissing a girl,
No,
like there's never anything.
This was before the Ellen kiss. There was... And the label kind of freaked out. They didn't know what to do. And in fact, in the video, we had planned. I was so excited. It would have been so revolutionary that we were going to actually have a kiss. And they freaked out at the last moment when we were doing the video and instead made me have Fabio's baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, serious.
That's the other great part of the video is that Fabio's in it.
Yeah.
That was a whole funny story, yeah. But... I get all the time. Like last night too, I was at a party and someone came up and said thank you for that song because I was in Alabama. She was somewhere in the South, and that was it sparked something.
Yeah,
sparked something.
Well, because
when I was a kid, there was no role models except for Miss Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Or my gym teacher that looked like Pete Rose. And it was not, they were not attractive.
Oh my God.
Right.
My gym teacher also looked like that. Do we have the same gym teacher?
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, there's just there's like nothing, and to have something like that at that time. So well, when you, I do want to know, like when you wrote that song and you recorded it, what sort of obstacles did you have from like record labels, if you can talk about that? Like how obviously it's a lot different than writing a song like that today if you were to write that, those exact lyrics and everything. But was there a conflict there when you went to actually record it?
Well, no, because I recorded it for, I didn't think it was actually going to make the record.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't think it would be a single, but then some guy from the label's like, oh, this could be kind of trendy. But then they wanted it. Then they kind of freaked out. And I was like, okay, but it was a really hard place for me to be too, because, for instance, I remember when I first got my deal, I was around the meeting all the marketing people, A&R, and I was in the conference room around the table introducing everyone, and they were like, oh, thank God we signed a straight singer-songwriter, not like a Melissa Etheridge or a Tracy Chapman. And I'm like,
oh my God.
What do you do?
Right.
Because you wanna. And so when Kissed a Girl came out, it was almost like, do you be a little kid? Because also you wanted to be known as not as lesbian singer songwriter.
Right.
I wanted to be I wanted to be. I'm a serious singer songwriter. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feel that way. Whether I am or not, I wanted. And they felt like they kind of freaked out, and they felt, oh, let's make this more of a novelty song than a queer song. So I would have to go on like Entertainment Tonight, I remember. And instead of talking about the song, the queerness of it, they had me with Fabio, and I'd be interviewed like, so how was it to be with the hunkiest man in America? And I'd be like, you know, like he was right next to me, so I could say, it's a fucking joke. Yeah. You know, he was. So they kind of trivialized that part of it. And, and that was really heartbreaking for me in a way. And, you know, so, and yeah, I look back and maybe I could have been bolder. I don't know. But it's a hard time to know when there was no role models or no examples to follow. So
it's a crazy thing because like the music at that time to me was all, I mean, it was a big boon for like female singer-songwriters and all the music kind of felt queer.
Absolutely. I still listen to so much music from that time period and it feels like
it was written for us.
It's made for us.
Yeah, it was made for us. Yeah. And but then none of it though was like explicitly.
No, but it was but we always pick up on, because like, you know, we kind of read between the lines, and I feel like we sort of have this like different frequency that we're operating on, where we're always looking for a signal or some sort of queer type of vibe from things. And I think 90s singer-songwriter music is just perfect for that.
I'm still very confused about the song Adia.
Oh, yeah. I have a very visceral memory of, I think probably my first like crush that I saw on TV was Joan Osborne in the video What If God Was One of Us.
Yes.
I was obsessed with her and I couldn't figure out why, but I would like, I don't know, there was just something about her that came off as like super gay to me, and I think that like totally reached a part of my brain.
It was a really different time. I mean, it was a great time because I had, my first record deal was in 1990, and I had a record that before that one. Mm-hmm. Like, a few years before, and it was a whole different world. I mean, I remember trying to get signed, and I finally did, but I would be like, we really like you, but we already have a female songwriter on the label.
Right.
So all of a sudden, the 90s happened. Yeah. And it was really a great time, and for the first time that a lot of women, they signed and Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring that time.
I know, right?
I mean, when I do think about nostalgia and music, I do think it's something that does kind of hold me back from discovering new things. And I think this happens with a lot of people, that at some point in your 20s, you just like revert back to the music that you listened to growing up because it makes you feel good and it reminds you of maybe like an easier time in your life or something like that. So I can get stuck listening to a lot of the 90s or like, you know, when I buy new music, it's like, oh, this is Garbage's new album or something, you know, and not so much listening to.
I don't listen to hardly anything new.
New
like
things.
I don't know.
I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah,
and like,
maybe.
Well, I was listening, Jill, to your new record while I was like walking around New York, and I'm like, this is great. Like, I can, every song is so great to listen to. Yeah. It's a great album to listen to the whole thing through. But like, you know, had you not been coming on the podcast, I wouldn't have thought to be like looking at, you know, what music has been coming out.
I just like to go back to the stuff I love.
Anything. Yeah. I just go back to the things I love from like the 90s. And,
yeah.
In the early 2000s.
What is, for you, who are your musical influences? Like, what's your go-to, like, nostalgia stuff to listen to from when you were, like, a kid or a teenager?
Well, I think that is, I there was a study that we're affected by the music that we heard when we were from, like, 7 to 15. Uh-huh. I'm making that up. But it was something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just our brain. We can't help that. But I think I go back sometimes to music that my parents were listening to, but I have such strange eclectic tastes. Like I'll go from everything from Miles Davis to the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I was a little kid, the Beatles were everything, and James Brown I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then the songwriters who I loved growing up, I had a brother 7 years older than me, so I wasn't listening to the bubblegum music my friends were listening to. I had more sophisticated taste.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, no, I listened to Dylan and Leonard Cohen and Joni.
Yeah,
you know?
That's cool.
So I tend to, I try to make myself listen to new music. I think a lot of what's, there's so much great music, but I think that it's kind of a weird period for pop, like the top 10 pop.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it feels so, like maybe music in the 50s, pre-rock. Mm-hmm. Like there was the Pat Boone. It felt like a bad period of time, like a vanilla kind of period where that felt very corporate. It feels very corporate. Like,
yeah.
I also think that has to do with the changing music industry.
Yeah.
And radio. It used to be when I grew up, there would be radio and there would be shows that would play, like the DJ had a free reign, and you would, mm-hmm. you would discover all this amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And right now, by pop radio, it's like there's some guy who's telling every station in the United States what to play these six songs over and over again. And so I don't know what I was trying to say, but I don't think it's just my age or our age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so much good music, but you have to dig a little deeper for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have access to music before, right?
Like literally pretty much any song you can just pull up in 2 seconds on your phone if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, I grew up, you know, waiting with a blank cassette tape in my stereo so that I could hit record when the radio played the song
fantastic.
I liked. So I could
or going to the mall and going to like a Sam Goody, you know, like an actual store.
Media play.
There's something about a physical thing like the vinyl too.
Yeah.
And you know what? Can I just be an old person?
Yes, please.
What I found so exciting when I was a little kid to get music is that I'd go to the record store. My dad would take me. I'd open it up, and I was obsessed with who played on what song, who wrote, like, all the studio musicians.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, this was on this, and be like, you'd be excited by it. And now, since I think, you know, with iTunes started, there's absolutely no credits. You'd have to dig really deep to, and that's why no one knows who the writers are of these songs. And I think that it's a disservice to the people who work on it, but also there's something great about
physically having it in your hands.
And also knowing how this was made, who played drums on it.
Yeah.
Or who programmed it or
that's so true. Cause I memorized pretty much like every Madonna book that came the CD, so like I knew who produced each album, who was mixing the songs, who were her backup singers.
Oh, of course.
Which songs like she wrote on her own, which ones she co-wrote.
Yeah. CDs, they would you could pull. I love doing that too. I would pull that little book out, that little like the cover, and you pull it out, and it's either like a little flip book or
you get your liner notes.
Like read all of it, and it was fascinating.
Well, because of nostalgia, Cecilia and I bought a turntable recently and started growing a vinyl collection, as you do when you're a millennial living in New York. But it's awesome, and there's something so great about having that break, one, from the digital world, two, listening through an entire album and just having it play through instead of just having like a playlist of mixed songs and like purposefully getting an album. The one thing that I'm finding, and Jill, correct me if my theory on this is wrong, I'm having a hard time finding like a lot of vinyl from the 90s because I think they just like abandoned vinyl for CDs and didn't like print.
Oh, yeah.
Like press as much vinyl.
Yeah.
I
know that my new record and the one before, vinyl, but they didn't print vinyl in 95, 97.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. The record, unless the artist demanded it or so, you're right about that. And also it's really expensive.
Sure.
To manufacture these days and takes time, but I agree. It's hard to find vinyl.
I bought, but now it's different because I bought Lemonade.
Oh yeah, on vinyl.
Vinyl, and I got it off of somebody who bought it because he said when it came out on Tidal, Yeah. And he didn't have a subscription to Tidal and wanted to hear it. And he went out and he's like, the only other place I could get it was vinyl. I'm like, what a weird time.
Yeah, so, like, right, right.
That, you know, Beyonce's album is like behind a paywall.
Right.
Or you buy it on vinyl. And now that seems to be like the two main, I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but for, you know, people aren't buying CDs anymore. They're just buying digital or they're buying vinyl.
Yeah, and I'm sure part of that is kind of tapping into the nostalgia market, which is like now they know that all these people that want, because vinyl, it's cool to have vinyl now, you know what I mean? Like maybe it wasn't
plus
as cool.
Plus it sounds great.
It sounds great, and it's just like it's so fucking cool to have records that you can just kind of like pulling it out of the sleeve and putting it on the player. Like there's something very tactile and very like pleasing about the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's why, you know, now that people are actually buying them again and it's become something that's considered cool for people kind of in our generation. But yeah. But it's kind of like with the whole nostalgia market for entertainment, like am I just like imagining this, or is it all every new movie coming out, every show is just a reboot of something that was made 20 or 30 years
ago? That's just fucking lazy.
Yes. Yeah, it feels that way.
I mean, it just feels like, hey, and to me it's the same in music. It's like, oh, we had a hit with that 2 months ago. Let's make one that just sounds just like it.
Yeah.
It's just the same shit. Yeah, I don't know. I get what they're doing because like the movies and stuff that came out when, for example, when like I was, I don't know, 5 or 6 or whatever, obviously now we're all the age where people our age are having kids and like they just see it as an opportunity to bring these people back to the theater or back to whatever with their kids to watch the same thing. But it's just, I don't see anything original anymore. It's like, we talk about going to the movies, like
yeah.
Going to see The Favorite was like the first movie I've seen in like over a year because I'm just not drawn anymore to like the new things that are coming out because all it is just a cheap nostalgic reboot
or
of something.
Or a superhero.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. For big franchise superhero, which I'm not into.
I think in the last 2 years, I find the most bold and exciting and is definitely on streaming services.
Yeah.
On TV, yeah. As opposed to in the old days, you'd think, the things I've seen were at the movies for like a week so they could be in the Academy, but then they went straight to Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm more entertained at the stuff I could just stream at home than I am actually, you know, going out into the world and going and seeking out these places. So I don't know.
One thing that I want to talk about specifically with movies and nostalgia and the queer community is that a lot of movies about queer relationships or like some type of queer storyline, so much of it, the majority of movies I would say are like this kind of like first time experience for a woman or a man. And it always makes me like weirdly nostalgic to watch those things.
Yeah.
For that like horribly confusing time in my life when
I don't want to relive at all necessarily.
Yeah, but that's like all the like every story is this like and it takes me back to this place of like oh man I remember when I went through that. What were you gonna say, Jill?
I was just gonna interrupt, but now I don't even know what that was. It was just rude, so I stopped.
No, go for it.
I wanted to hear. I know it's but there is something about either a later life coming of age or earlier coming of age. It's that same thing of nostalgia or it's exciting. There's that first time that you actually, it's interesting with hashtag fuck seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We ask people about their very first kiss and usually everyone's was with spin the bottle or, and it was with someone of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And when I ask someone who's queer or, you know, that's what it was. But then you ask them their first time with someone of the, you know, same. And it's a whole different ball game. And it's really, you see in their face.
Yeah.
Like they get all kind of shy and excited or.
Oh, yeah.
And so I mean, I understand that. I love for my show hashtag, I spent 2 years just reading young adult queer fiction.
Oh, cool.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get that feeling of the pain and the awfulness, but the wonder of that first. And also, you young whippersnappers, you did not know what it was like.
Right.
And I, growing up when I did.
Yeah.
In the late 70s. In the 70s. Whereas I don't even know what it was like for my friends who grew up in the 60s or 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. But it was a whole, again, the nostalgia of it was a horrible time, but yet there was something really sexy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the movie Carol, hashtag Carol.
Carol.
Right?
And those pulp fiction movies. And, mm-hmm. And I read, have you ever read The Price of Salt, that book that it came from?
No, I haven't, but
it's
that is
fantastic.
On my list.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to read that.
Which was great about that one is that most of those had to have a really unhappy ending.
Sure.
Right.
Then, and Carol didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which feels very subversive because it's like, I don't know. Yeah, that's the other thing too about some of the movies that we grew up, like the typical lesbian movies. There's always some really shitty thing that befalls one of the main characters, or it's either a death or like they inexplicably go back to their man or whatever, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's why I had a hard time with those, in really embracing any of those kind of movies when I was young and coming out, because I was so emotionally invested.
What
in
were
every,
some of those movies?
Well, for one example of like, well, I guess it's not really a movie, but in The L Word, when Dana dies, that's when I stopped watching the entire show. Cause I was like, why did she have to die? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around like a character having to die. And I hated it so much. Another movie that wasn't really during my childhood, but definitely during my like coming out years, was The Kids Are All Right. Where the whole thing was about like an affair with a guy and like that, yes, they got back together or whatever, but like that like devastated me. Like I couldn't watch that movie. I could now, but like at the time, all I wanted when I was just coming out was like a nice, happy, tidy love story between two women where no one dies, no one goes back to a guy, and I just couldn't find anything like that. I guess Imagine Me and You is probably an example. Because they end up together, right?
They end up together.
And no one dies.
Yeah. I forget what happens in Gia. I just remember it's like Angelina Jolie being sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't there like die in the drug? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not
a good example.
Yeah. No. And
we have so few
Bound,
examples. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is when you try to look at lesbian movies, or as opposed to some gay or even right now trans movies, is that there's a lot of really shitty, low-quality lesbian...
Mm-hmm.
Like
the writing. And
the writing is really bad. I mean, I just want to say, well, I'm not going to afterwards, but I just think that, you know, maybe there's some European ones that are a little bit...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of ones that I really liked. You know what was a great 80s one? Was Desert Hearts.
Yes.
That was a great one.
Yeah, oh my God,
it's
been
period.
So long. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't think I know that one. Desert Hearts? Now I got to look it up.
It was a great 80s one.
Yeah?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And I think it was great for its time period. And even now, because I saw it for the first time a couple months ago.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, but knowing what the time period was.
Yeah. You do have to kind of look through that lens about everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of campy lesbian movies like Debs and But I'm a Cheerleader.
That was a great one.
That was pretty great. That was pretty wonderful. And just think about nostalgia too with like relationships in general. So take that out of media.
Yeah.
Like I know that Facebook when Facebook kind of opened up to everybody. I know I read some stories that there were people who were, you know, older and married and reconnecting with like their boyfriends or whatever from high school and like having affairs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, driven by, you know, nothing but nostalgia.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like reconnecting with someone.
Yeah.
After
wanting
a long
to
time.
Feel.
I've never reconnected with anyone after like a breakup, after any given period of time. I couldn't imagine doing that with any of my exes, but yeah, I could see how social media has opened up the nostalgia of like looking someone up. And it was kind of like a thrill to like look someone up that you haven't seen or spoken to in a long time, especially if there was some romantic connection there, and
yeah.
to see them. And all of a sudden you're just like, ooh, and you're sort of transformed back to that feeling you had about them initially. Like, I used to look up the first woman I ever kissed, and like, I would just get this like weird thrill of like finding her Facebook profile, but like, I wouldn't befriend her or anything. It was just like, oh my God, there she is. Now I don't have those same, I don't know. It's like, it's almost like a chasing the dragon thing. Like the first time you kiss a woman, it's like the most thrilling fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
It's and like, I think when, like doing heroin, right?
Yeah, yeah, it kind of is.
It's
yeah.
just not the same. It's never been, and why do I have that accent? What am I talking about?
It's a good heroin dealer.
It's a good heroin accent.
but that's kind of like, I mean, yes, now obviously it is exciting to like meet someone and maybe kiss someone for the first time, but it's never, to me, never going to be the same as that very first time. You know, I don't know.
You try to go back to that, it's an illusion. It's not.
Yeah.
But also, isn't it just, I remember the very first time I had a kiss, and mm-hmm. it was my third year in Spain, college in Spain, and her name was Ivanita Hooper. I just needed to say that name.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah. But I remember it was also, it wasn't just, it was the first time, it's that all that anticipation,
yeah,
yeah,
and the excitement, and also relief,
mm-hmm. yeah,
that you're finally doing that. That. So it's not just the actual like this was the best kiss. It was just all the weight that's yeah. behind it, and that you can leave.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is so amazing and special.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it felt like for sure. But yeah, I just don't feel like I'll ever, I don't know. It's like, it's something that when I think about that particular moment, and even when I think about her, it's just like, I get this weird little nervousness, like this excited kind of like energy thinking about that very first time. But it is something that's just fleeting to me because it'll never happen again. You know, you never get your very first one again.
Yeah.
But I, again, would not return to that period of time in my life at all for anything. But it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of fun to think about nostalgia in that way. And I think that's a particular kind that queer people can relate to specifically. So.
Well, because the album is called Nostalgia Kills, mm-hmm. It inspired a game, and we like to play visual games on this show, even though it's a podcast and people can't see anything. So the way that this happens is I'll show you guys pictures, mm-hmm. Sarah, you describe to the listeners what the pictures mm-hmm. are, and then we give our answers. So this game is called Nostalgia, Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Okay, great.
All right.
Love Marry, Fuck, Kill. This is the best. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't
of
know who those are.
Of course you
Gosh.
90210. Okay, it's the ladies of 90210, the original one. It's Brenda Walsh, Donna, and Kelly.
Okay. I mean, I know Tori Spelling is that. Tori Spelling's hot. All right, so
really?
I know, yes. We looked at each
Tori
other.
Spelling's hot. Look at that photo. I think she's hot in this picture.
Oh, my God. Okay, you didn't watch 90210.
No,
then.
I didn't watch 90210. Was she terrible in the show? Is she a villain?
Quick break from the game. Okay. The only time anybody's ever approached me and told me I looked like a celebrity, it was a guy who told me I looked like Tori Spelling.
That's not true.
Right. I don't think I look like Tori Spelling in any way, but he was staring at me and I said, do you have a problem? And he said, girl, you look like Tori Spelling and I like it. And I was like, oh my God, like
oh
nobody,
my God. That's the worst.
Nobody wants to be told they look like Tori Spelling, not even Tori Spelling. Like
yeah.
she,
wow.
She wants
right,
to be told
so
she looks
I
like Jenny Garth.
So who's the one on the left? Who's the actress that plays her? Is that Shannon Doherty?
Yeah.
Okay. So young Shannon Doherty, Tori Spelling. And then I don't know who this other one is.
Jenny Garth.
I'm going to say marry Shannon Doherty, fuck Tori Spelling, kill Jenny Garth. Is that bad? What about you? Who would yours be?
I don't know if any of them. I don't care about any of them.
You want to kill them all?
That's an option too.
Well, I don't want to kill them. Can I just maim or something?
Yeah. Yes,
you can maim them. Yeah. You can ghost them.
Just in the hospital for one day.
Right.
But then they're okay.
And then they're okay and they go lead productive lives.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
I'm gonna murder Donna.
Okay.
And then fuck Brenda and then marry Kelly.
Kelly is
Jenny Garth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that for you. Yeah.
If we're talking about the characters, right. I'm assuming she's over her cocaine problem.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I wish I knew more about this show. I'm the worst lesbian. Oh, Mary Fuck Kill. So now our next photo is the band Hanson. So we have Isaac on the left. Was that his name?
Isaac, yeah.
Was the oldest one. And then Zach was the youngest one. And then the middle one is... Ooh, what's the middle one's name? He's the one that looks the most like a lesbian.
Like a lesbian. Taylor. Yeah,
Taylor, that's his name. So I'm going to say fuck Isaac, marry Taylor, and kill Zach. Just because he looks like a little... He just looks like a little bratty teenager that I just wouldn't want to deal with. Although I looked exactly like him when I was that age, so...
Agree, and Isaac aged well.
Oh, yeah, he did. He's
Which one's
now.
Isaac?
Isaac's the oldest one on the left.
The oldest one?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then Taylor's the middle.
I was not a Hanson fan or followed.
Yeah,
me neither.
So, they had one song.
So again, I don't care. I suppose if I'd fucking marry the little one because he's cute. I mean, not now.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Yes. No, that's gross.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, so we have a fuck, marry, kill of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Monica Lewinsky. So
this is an easy one, guys.
I would honestly, I would marry Monica Lewinsky. First of all, she's a babe. She's hot as fuck now. Like, I follow her on Twitter, and she's also really just a fascinating person to follow, and I think her story is fascinating. And I
Jill, do you follow Monica Lewinsky at all?
Yeah, I met her about 4 years ago. When
really?
She was at TED, and when she first came out and did her, started talking about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah.
We all agree that we want to marry Monica
Lewinsky. I'd marry her.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's incredible.
And then obviously fuck Hillary and...
Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, I do legitimately want to have sex with Hillary Clinton.
You do?
Yeah.
You are actually attracted to Hillary Clinton.
I am.
She's your Holland Taylor.
Yeah, she is my Holland Taylor. And, you know...
I mean, the power. It's just like, it's a thing. I get it.
Oh, more... Look at her. Look, what
no,
a babe.
She's a, yeah, she's beautiful.
A babe.
I agree. Yeah.
Boy, Bill's stock sure went down.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He is aging extremely rapidly.
And, well, also, once we decided it's not okay to be a rapist.
Yeah. exactly.
That his rapes caught up with him. Yeah. All right. Here we go.
So our next photo is from the feature film Clueless. And from the left, we have Dion, played by Stacey Dash, who is now insane. we have Cher in the middle, played by Alicia Silverstone. And then Ty, played by the late Brittany Murphy.
Congratulations, Sarah, on getting all those.
Yeah,
because...
yeah. So I would marry Ty, fuck Cher, and I would kill Dion only because I can't separate her from the actress who plays her.
Yep.
That's
she,
me.
Went nutty,
she went nutty,
didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she went Fox News, like, full on. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'd do the same.
Same.
I'd do the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta...
That's it.
Actually,
that's the only option.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
I think I'd marry Cher.
You'd marry Cher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
She has a good heart.
Yeah, she does. She's got that... I don't know. I can't identify with, like, the spoiled rich girl, though. I think that would eventually be a problem in our relationship. So it'd have to be a short one. All right, our next photo, fuck, marry, kill, the movie Scream, the sequel, Scream 2, or Scream 3. I would marry the first Scream for sure.
Yeah.
That movie fucking rocked. Fuck Scream 2 and kill Scream 3.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
There's actually a right or wrong for this one. Oh. So.
you know what? I saw the first one and I did care less to see the again.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd have to...
You'd have to marry the first one.
Marry and fuck the first one and just kill the other ones.
Ignore the other ones.
Ignore them. It seems like one of the... It just seems like...
Yeah. I don't know that I saw the third one.
You know, they are all worth seeing for Neve Campbell and her...
I was going to say, that was... Yeah.
But the third one has Portia de Rossi in it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, a young Portia de Rossi.
Yeah. So speaking of like 90s nostalgia, my crush on Neve Campbell was just palpable for years. Like, I was obsessed with every single thing that she was in.
Me too.
And then now, and so then when I saw her in House of Cards years later, like, she was on season 3, I think.
They brought her to House of Cards. Show, but I feel like I should now.
And I watched it, and I saw, and she was on the screen, and she hadn't really, I hadn't seen her in hardly anything since, like, the late 90s. So she was a character on that show, and that literally that brought me right back to the same feeling of being like 13 and like being glued to the screen watching Neve Campbell, because she's just so fucking hot and still is. That's mine.
Yeah, she's one of those. You know, there are certain actresses that don't give off any. I don't think she gives off any queer vibes. But
I mean, I've invented it in my head that she does. But like, but yeah, she's just I. That's like my enduring
like
90s
like her,
crush.
Right?
Yeah,
the ladies
definitely.
Like Neve Campbell.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And then our last one.
A choker?
It's three variations on chokers.
Yeah, we have Fuck, Marry, Kill with three different sort of types of chokers. How would you describe that top left one? That's like, it's almost like a lacy choker a little bit.
No,
but it's
almost
one
kind of
stretch,
the plastic lacy one. Yeah. The plastic one
kind of
looks like a tattoo.
Yeah, I don't like those ones.
And then the other one is like a hemp beaded, there's beads in it. But
it's just a hemp choker.
Yeah, hemp choker. And then the other one is a
peace symbol.
Yeah,
one.
With a peace sign on it. The peace sign really had a thing in the 90s. Like, that really came back for a while
the
in
the peace
jewelry.
Sign, but also the important part of this choker is that it is a velvet choker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I owned one of them. Not with the peace sign. mine might have had like a
I never had a
Celtic
choker.
Cross or something. Oh boy!
Yeah,
I've
I don't
had,
like the feeling
I had
of anything
all
around
three
my
of
neck.
These. All three of these. So tell me when I go through my old jewelry box.
These are just photos taken from your home.
I wish I didn't plan that well, but
I'd have to fuck the peace sign one. I just think that's rad. That's like a one time wear. Probably marry the hemp one. I feel like that's I don't know. You could always repurpose it around the house for something.
Yeah,
and then you got to kill that cheapy plastic one because it's probably gonna snap the second you put it on anyway.
I would fuck like the cheapy plastic one.
Well, I was going to say, I'm either going to kill or fuck the plastic one because it's cheap and whorish and it could be great for one time.
You know
it's
what?
A little whorish.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd have to marry, because I'm just such a hippie child.
Yeah.
I'd have to go for the peace sign and the vote because
it's
timeless. I would actually wear that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also, the black velvet feels a little goth to me and I'm into it.
And I bet it'd be nice and soft on your neck.
The hemp one, I feel like everybody would just try to hit me up for weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I wore that around New York.
The hemp one is just skunky.
Well, I mean, that's it for our
game.
That was
fun.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
That's great.
Marry, fuck, kill.
And we found my Achilles heel for pop culture, which is apparently 90210.
Yeah.
I have never seen a single episode of that show.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was just...
I had an older sister.
I was the oldest, and I don't know that I would have been... Not necessarily allowed, but I don't think my mom would have been cool with me like watching that show when I was younger.
I never watched it.
Yeah, I was watching... That was a time period when I was watching a lot of, like, Saved by the Bell and Family Matters and Full House and those kind of 90s shows.
It confused me because I was into both David and Kelly.
Yeah.
and Brendan. Brendan Walsh was also good-looking.
Yeah. Well, all the, like, 90s shows, like the 90s heartthrob guys, all kind of looked like lesbians because they were very
effeminate. They had the same haircut.
The same aesthetic.
Same aesthetic.
The whole thing. So it was a very confusing time for us, I think.
Yeah. Just, I didn't know if I wanted to be them or kiss them.
Right.
Yeah. It was a very confusing time. You know, we have our listener question, but Jill, would you break out into song for us?
Do you have time to do that?
Do you have time for one song?
Let's look at my guitar.
One parting song.
Oh, conveniently, your guitar is right here.
What should we sing?
Would you want to sing I Kissed a Girl?
No, but I will.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
No.
Whatever you want to sing.
So
or something off your new album.
Yeah. I really like the Party Girl song off the new album, but I don't know if that's a good one for acoustic...
I think whatever,
we could try
in your,
it. You know what?
Whatever you want to do.
You could try. What's the song about the woman with dementia?
Oh, Claire.
Claire.
Oh. Well, Party Girl, I'm going to let you decide. Party Girl is about just someone who's like trying to thinks it's back in the 90s and they still get really drunk and they wear their little mini skirt to the bar. And it's a kind of depressing one.
Okay.
And Claire is about a woman with Alzheimer's. So you get, you know, you pick.
Wait, a woman with Alzheimer's who says that she hooked up with, I'm guessing Eleanor Roosevelt.
It was a true story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Let's do this one.
I wanted to know about that.
So here was, let me get the lyrics because I haven't done this in a while.
It's an oldie, yeah.
There was my friend who lived in Highlands, North Carolina. It's this fantastic little mountain town. And his neighbor was this woman, Claire. And she was a pilot in World War II. She was a WAC. And she talked about how she was an old, she was one of those who probably went to the village, like in the Carol days.
Oh my
God. And she said, she did say, me and Eleanor. But you thought, she's crazy. And then, after I wrote the song and then we saw her again, and then I realized every time we saw her, she had gin and tonic. So maybe she was just drunk the entire time. Maybe it's a completely happy. But no matter, she had a great, great life.
Of course.
Okay, I haven't done this in a while. Okay. I might need to have someone scroll.
Hold this up.
Oh, I got it. Can I put on my glasses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't done this in a couple of years. Dear Claire, she gets up at 3, she makes some toast and a cup of tea, but she forgot and watched TV as the water all boiled down. The place almost burned down. Dear Claire, she was a pioneer. Her sister said she flew in World War II. She stares at the kitchen door. She says it looks like rain. I'm sure it's gonna rain. The secret life of Claire. I wish I had the key. The treasure's buried there. Dear Claire, I go and help her once a week. She tells me stories and I ask her what she needs. She told me back in 44, she slept with Eleanor. Sometimes she gets confused. For all we know, it's true. Wonders why the leaves have turned and why the summer's been so short this year. And Claire, she asks for my name. Have you been here before? Are you someone I should know? Then perhaps you better go. Secret life of Claire. Thanks for asking for that one. I hadn't done
best
that.
Best 5 minutes of my entire life.
Thank
I'm
you
not
for
kidding.
Indulging
that was amazing.
Oh, thank you for
you
indulging
are,
me.
I'm
you
like,
are
I'm freaking
so...
out. That was so amazing.
Oh, Claire.
Oh, Claire. Okay, I want like a. I would watch a feature length film specifically about Claire.
Right.
I need that in my life.
What? Should we make it? Write a screenplay?
Yeah,
of her
absolutely.
Life?
This is what I love about your music so much, though. Is like so all the stories in it. I just like.
Like, you want that story. Like, that's such a perfect story. And
yeah.
I desperately need a full, like, it just needs to be a movie. Like, it's an incredible.
Yeah, it opens up with
amazing.
Her, you know, like, there.
Yeah, like, I can picture her, like, with her gin and tonic telling a story. And you're like, I don't know about this story. And then it's, and then just, like, The Secret Life of Claire. That's what the movie has to be called.
It's,
oh, my God.
Yeah. It's hard to know with, like, Alzheimer's and dementia. Because when my grandfather got dementia... he would tell stories that I think were just like dreams he was having and he got confused. But my grandmother, when she got Alzheimer's, the memories that she kept repeating and did remember were like real things from her childhood.
Oh, yeah. Really specific like you remember stuff from your past. It's more the short term things. Like you don't remember.
Yeah. Where,
like,
they
can tell you every detail of something that happened 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But then. You know,
I know when she started losing it, that's when she told me that, my grandmother told me that she euthanized her aunt.
Whoa.
she
I think that's called killing.
She killed her aunt, but like the family asked her to, she was a nurse and they asked her to get, but like off the book, like they asked her to get some morphine and put her out
and
of her misery.
Well, that was a humane thing.
Absolutely.
It was
a humane
thing.
But this is my like very Catholic grandmother who was cool with the gays, but still very Catholic. So when she was like 84, she tells me that, oh yeah, I did kill my aunt. I was like, what? What is this story?
That's great.
And then I asked around and everyone's like, oh yeah. And I think someone was like, she did it twice. And I'm like,
wait a minute.
My grandma has two kills in her belt. Awesome. Anyway.
You've got good DNA.
Yeah.
Got that murder
oh
DNA.
Oh my God, that was so great.
Jill, thank you so much. Where can people, where should they buy your music? Where should they follow you?
They can go to jillsobule.com.
Okay.
I also have really fun Instagrams. You guys should join my Instagram because I do really bad Photoshop stuff.
I did
for New Year's Eve, I put myself in the poster of New Year's Rockin' Eve 88 with John Stamos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Heather Locklear.
Of course.
So, you know, of course. So, and check it out and tell people. And, that's really all I have to say is follow me.
Yeah.
I've got really good Nostalgia Kills t-shirts.
Oh,
looks like
nice.
It's from the late 70s.
I'm in.
I'm going to check that out. Maybe I'll wear that to the Stonewall show.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
When
I love
it. When is the Stonewall show?
January 28th.
The 28th.
It's a Monday.
Maybe I'll come by.
Oh my God, that'd be a...
Would you come by with your guitar?
That would be amazing. That would be everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. Almost as good as Madonna. I'll wear those implant, those butt implant.
Oh my God!
Pants.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I'm like,
that's
what? What is happening?
That all is right. So not a good look.
Oh
no!
All.
No, I don't know what she was thinking, but you know.
You know.
Whatever.
Know.
Yeah.
All right.
You
know. Thank you so much. This
thank you guys.
Such
this
a
was
pleasure.
Really fun, and I'm gonna go to the airport.
All
right. Now.
That
Godspeed.
Sounds good. Thank you.
When Jill brought her guitar, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't just because she's headed to the airport.
Right.
And I hope. And she's like, oh, I have this in case I want to break out into song.
Like,
I'm
please
like,
do.
Is that an
we
option?
We could just do the entire pod of you singing. I don't care.
Oh my God. I know. Just that was so wonderful.
Yeah.
So listeners, Jill had to take off for the airport, but she did agree, and we're going to finalize the details, but I think she's in on our show at Stonewall on the 28th. So if you want to see Jill Sobule for, I mean,
I hope it's happening. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. She is such a joy. Her voice, as you just heard, is wonderful. Her new album is great. Seriously was listening to it. I've listened to it like maybe four times through now. And I can't get the songs out of my head. It's just, so, like, each song is interesting. They tell a story, and it also is just, like, a nice, I don't know.
That was really
her
great.
Her voice just, like, cheers me up.
Yeah.
So, come out to Stonewall on the 28th. Okay, listener question. Hey, I'm 20 years. Hey.
Hey.
I really I don't edit already. These. Yeah. These are all unfiltered listener yeah. questions. Hey, I'm 20 years old, and I used to identify as bisexual until about a year ago. I've only ever been physically intimate with one cis man in my life, and it was only meh. I used to want to be intimate with more men, but the idea of being with one now, even ones I used to find attractive, repulses me.
Well, I can identify with that.
Recently, one of my best friends of 10 years, who happens to be a cis dude, just told me he has feelings for me, and I'm shocked, and I really want to be attracted to him. He's exactly what used to be my type in men. Mm-hmm. I love spending time with him and may even like him in a romantic sense, but feel nothing sexually. What should I do? Should I try to be physically intimate with him to see if I can do it? I feel like I'm putting pressure on this to work because it would be the perfect high school romance story, and my mom loves him, and I think he's a good person. Also, do you believe someone can grow into being a lesbian? If you've been attracted to men in the past, does that mean you'll always be bisexual? There is a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, a lot going on.
I will say when I got this email, I emailed her back immediately because it seemed like a time-sensitive thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm like, do not hook up with somebody that you
that
don't
you're not attracted
feel
to.
Physically attracted to, like, that you don't want to. Like that
because
is
that's never
number
going
one
to evolve
rule.
From that, you know? And that's the thing
you
about attraction. It's kind of the simplest thing if you really think about it. It's like the most, it's a thing that you just feel, and you either feel it or you don't. And it's perfectly okay to not feel. Someone could be the most amazing person in the world, but if you're not physically attracted to them, that's fine. You don't have to force that. You don't have to, like, you're not going to create that. That has to happen organically or it's not going to happen at all.
Also, this notion of a perfect high school romance story, that is
those
false.
Aren't real.
That's, that does not exist, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Do some people reconnect with their, this is a good one for nostalgia, mm-hmm. With their high school loves or someone from their high school and get married and are happy.
I'm sure that happens.
Yes, that does happen. We had a guest, Sarah Hartshorn, who didn't date this guy in high school and now is married to him and in her high school of three people.
Right, But also, like, those stories, though, the through line there is that they were physically attracted to them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not... This is just like...
That's not a goal in life. That should not be a goal.
You don't need to fit into someone else's narrative. It sounds like because your mom likes him, you think that that is reason enough to go forward with this, but it's not, because if we all ended up with who our moms liked, I would be married to this gay guy that I went to college with. It's not like... It doesn't matter. Like, it's just...
I remember with my first wife, my mother-in-law would talk about... this one guy that she was friends with and how she always thought they would get married and, you know, like, but that, it wouldn't have worked.
It's fine. Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked.
It doesn't matter if your mom likes them. None at all.
Yeah.
Moms like anyone that they think is going to, like, make you happy or be, you know, it's just, it's fine.
They like anybody who's polite and clean.
Yeah. As long, anyone who's polite and clean and, like, you know, says please and thank you is going to impress someone's mom. So, also with this, like, your question that you asked about growing into, like you said, being a lesbian or whatever, I just think that, like, sexuality is such a complex thing that is so wildly different from person to person. You don't have to be one way or the other. It's okay if you are still some, you know, if it's okay if you do have attraction to men or to women or any other gender. It's just, like, just kind of let yourself feel that, but don't feel like you have to force it with this one person because he happens to be a good person.
Yeah. And in terms of labels, I mean, reading this and saying that you used to find men attractive, but now they repulse you.
Yeah.
That's really pinging the lesbian end of the Kinsey scale. and like you, if you feel like you're a lesbian, then you're a lesbian. If you feel like you're a bisexual and that you still are open to being with men in both a physical and romantic way, then identify
then
as bisexual.
And that can change day to day for you. It does.
And
it's
that can
not
change.
Something you're committing to for life. It's not a tattoo. It's like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just what you feel.
I mean, you know, Cecilia used to be with men. Mm-hmm. And her ex-wife was the first woman she was ever with. And she used to say, I don't know, I guess I'm bisexual because I used to be with men. But now she identifies as a lesbian because mm-hmm. she's like, no, I'm definitely a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And if I were single, I would only want to date women. I wouldn't want to date men anymore. So even it doesn't matter what her past was. Your identity is what you are in the moment, not what you were 10 mm-hmm. years ago, you know?
It's 100% up to you, and it's 100% okay if that changes over time.
Yeah.
To whatever. Like, it doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It matters, but it shouldn't, it's not something that you have to really concern yourself with anyone else's opinion about.
Yes. Yes. It's based on how you feel mm-hmm. and what you're attracted to and what you want to communicate mm-hmm. to other people. Because a label can help in doing that, you know. It's like I had this discussion, actually. It was after the suit show, because there was a bisexual comedian there who was talking about how sometimes she calls herself a lesbian, and I'm like, well, you know, whatever. But then another bisexual friend of mine was there, and she said, that's not cool, because you're telling people that you're a lesbian and then you're dating a guy, and then that can like confuse
right
people as to what it means to be a lesbian for yeah. people who use the term lesbian to signal I am not interested in having these relationships with men, and setting up that kind of boundary
right.
for themselves, and so that guys aren't thinking like, oh, well, maybe I do have a chance because
maybe
I knew this lesbian and right. she had a boyfriend, or she regularly dated men and stuff. And you know, I kind of say whatever, because I don't really want to get into policing other people's yeah. identities, but words
but we have do lots have of meanings. Words. Yeah, we have lots of words you can use.
And there are lots of words you can use, and you don't need to be greedy and use all of them.
You don't need to take our one word.
But, yeah, our one word. But, you know, I think it sounds like you are very much in tune with what you're feeling, mm-hmm. and you're mostly concerned about what people outside of you are thinking, and you need to mm-hmm. leave that behind.
And also, to reiterate, don't do anything sexually physical with someone that you don't enthusiastically want to do that with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's non-negotiable. Like yeah. it's not, and if you're not attracted to someone, you're not going to be any more attracted to them after a weird sexual encounter that you're not really into. Believe yeah. me, like that's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's not going to make you feel
no.
good.
No, not it will only be worse.
Wow. All right. Well, I hope she followed.
But thank you for your question.
Our advice.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so too.
Please follow.
Feel
follow
free
your
to
dreams.
Follow up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow up and let us know what happened with that. If you told that guy to, you know, that,
yeah, you can also be
chill.
Friends
just
with
be
someone.
Friends.
Like
yeah.
it's fine. If he's
it's
a great,
great
guy, cool. Just be friends with him if you want.
Yeah.
And if he is a great guy, he'll understand that and be cool with it. And if he's not cool with it, then he's not a fucking great guy.
Yes.
That's it.
Agree. 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 All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this very awesome,
life-changing episode,
special yeah. episode for us. I mean, I didn't want to get too creepy, but it was like, man, when I saw that video when I was mm-hmm. 10, and she's got these like braids in her hair, and she's looking like very like kind of manic pixie bisexual,
totally.
90s blonde rock chick, like
yeah.
Oh,
what a great aesthetic. I love
wow.
that.
Wow. It was
we
was
are having
wonderful.
A moment over here, if you can't tell.
Yeah. And she, Jill, is just lovely. And mm-hmm. we hope to see her again on the 28th, where I can be even more creepy toward her.
oh,
you know,
that's great.
I was telling Cecilia about her, and Cecilia asked how old she was. And I told her, and she goes, uh-oh. I know how you feel about older women.
That's great.
Yeah. And she's like, you can't do anything unless I'm there. I'm
yeah.
like, what a good wife.
She is great.
What a good
You're
wife.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
She's very lucky. You're both very lucky.
But anyway, I'll stop objectifying our guests and go back to thanking you for kicking off 2019 by listening to Dyking Out and sticking with us. Spread the word. Rate us on iTunes, subscribe. If you are feeling generous and have some leftover holiday cash, you can go to patreon.com/dykingout and get extra content. We just released a Dyking Off Topic episode on Dolly Parton. And dyke out with us again next week.
Find us on social media. I'm at the Sarah York on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at TGI Carolyn. And then we're at Dyking Out on everything and hope to be posting a lot of stuff in the new year. We're really excited about the guests that we're going to be having on the podcast. We had some cool interest and can't wait to meet these rad queer ladies that, that we're going to have on this new year.
Can't wait. Thank you.
Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.